All right, let us now, I know he's here, let's look through the window of baseball. We do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, and bring in the great Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Hey, do you want to? Do you know the call of the game?
Well, I do, but I'm going to keep it to myself. We'll get the suspense here. Yeah, keep it going.
Okay, all right. I was going to qualify you to win a Honda Civic, but all right. All right, I won't do that. What do we do? And I say we. What does the Giant team do? What does the front office do? What do they do with this mess that has been created this week, which really has pushed the club, totally out of contention?
Yeah, it's kind of staggering to think they are 17 games behind three teams in the loss column. So that's a little bit dire. I mean, the season's looking like it's lost, and you know, at this point, you have to step back and not panic, not think the whole thing needs to be torn down. You know, in a lot of cases, guys are contractually bound to the team. For the next couple of years, their value's low. So I really don't see a big house cleaning going on. I think they're going to look at a lot of the young players, aside from the ones that we've seen. And, you know, the Cueto thing is going to be looming over them at the deadline. If they feel like he's wants to be somewhere else next year, that's an obvious deal that they can make. But I don't see them trading a lot of core guys that we've been used to seeing around here.
Yeah, and what do you do for the rest of the year, though? And I mean, again, 17 games out in the loss column, you got to go back to 85. They could lose 100 games here, you know, the way things are going. But do you sit people and you know, do you wait till the rosters expand in September? You know, there are 93 games to go here. How do you deal with it?
Yeah, well, September will be really interesting because they'll be able to look at everybody. You know, you hate to sit down in Crawford or panic to get a look at some of the other guys. And you want to bring Arroyo back. You put him at third. You put him in left. They've got some other guys in the minor leagues they want to look at. I think they'll just have to balance it because you can't. I don't see them. Sitting guys. You know, Pence is an interesting case. Pence is not the same player that he has been. He's not hitting, and he's looked terrible in the field, which is really kind of shocking. Last night, there were at least three plays that he misplayed, and it's like, well, what the heck do you do with him? He's such a stud. He's been such a pillar of spirit and performance and everything with the club. Do you sit him down? I don't know if you trade him. It's a strange situation, Marty, because you still have a shred of belief in these guys, and you're almost looking forward, to next year and starting over with some of the new blood in there. But it's baffling. What you do is you don't lose your head and try to make smart decisions.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about this as we get into July, which is always interesting, around the trade deadline and who could go and who can't go and the contract issues of trying to move someone like a Spence or a Span. easy for you to say.
We call him Pinter Hunts at our house, so it gets me.
Really? But, as I said to Raf, if I told you, well, we'll keep $14 million, you pay Pence $4 million, who wants to do that?
That's the thing, is that Pence, if you were talking in the previous few years, if you made him available, other teams would be just knocking down the door to get him. You make a heck of a trade there. Right now, the sense is that he's sort of fading into a second phase of his career. Now, is it a mirage? I don't know. Right. He's not an old guy. He's still pretty spry. He's had a bunch of injuries, but it's just a bizarre situation to look at him right now.
Yeah, I think that's a story to play out because I think he's going to get better if he plays, which he will. He'll play in the most.
Yeah, I think that he will.
He will get better because, as you say, the skill is still there. He's just rusty, honestly. And then, and in life, sometimes, things start going wrong and all of a sudden you try to put your hands up to stop the avalanche and you can't do it. And that's what he looks like in the outfield right now. He's trying to, he just every time he makes a move, ball's going past him or over his head.
Yeah, the entire NL West is heading toward him and he can't grab it,
God. How about the Rockies? How about Charlie Blackman?
Oh, man. How about Blackman, LeMahieu, Arenado, Cargo, Desmond? I mean, those guys, that's a serious, legitimate lineup that's not going anywhere. They play good on the road. Obviously, they hit the heck out of the ball at home, and they got all these young pitchers. You know, Freeland's going today. But, yeah, Blackman leading off really sets a tone for them. You know, they get guys wearing, you know, people, kids, moms wearing beards in the stands.
I like that.
He's got one of the best ones going. But he's just a tremendous hitter. You know, nothing like a good, you know, leadoff double or triple or just hit one out to start the game. And the Cubs are doing that with Rizzo now. Let's get the last year there was a number two hitter as the best hitter on the team. Now teams are looking to lead off with, you know, with a bang.
That's the new thing. And Blackman, I think I heard, what, 10 or 11 triples already.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to get an email from Wahoo Sam Crawford pretty soon.
Exactly, 17 triples or whatever he did.
Yeah, but I think he had 36 in 2 weeks or something like that. But, he's got 94 hits right now. The Colorado record is 217 for Dante Bichette, and he's got a shot to break that. He could be the MVP of the league, you know that?
He could. He could. I mean, you know, the people have stopped doubting them, especially with Bud Black managing. They've got so much more stability, and they just win. They beat you. They hit and they pitch. What else is there? They got a great closer, Holland, who's like 24 for 25 in saves. And you know, don't forget Arizona and their leadoff guy, Gregor Blanco, who continues to star.
He's hitting great.
Yeah, he had a game-tying homer last night in the seventh inning. He's in about 270 and completely locked in there. He's gonna be part of that.
Boy, you know the story of baseball. As long as you're breathing, and still have and still have some ability. You know, you gotta be done and really done to be done. And if you still have anything left, that they find a spot for you, and it works. I'm glad for him. That's nice for him. What do you think about this, the appeal of Hunter Strickland? And I mean not the personal appeal, but the appeal to the MLB to reduce his suspension. He argued it on Tuesday, and today is Saturday. They still haven't heard. And we've had a criminal trial that deliberated for 70 hours that we've had that go on, and they still haven't figured out what to do with Strickland.
Yeah, I don't get it. But the thing that bothers me the most is that there even is an appeal process. And the thing that bothers me about it is that you know, you get suspended, and then the appeal's not going to be heard for a while. So now the very next night, you know, this Strickland should not be facing Washington in that series. He's gone. He's out of here. Okay. So is Harper. So is Puig. After he flips off the fans, he's out of there. He's suspended for the next game. There's no appeal. Forget the appeal. The appeal screws everything up. It screws up the fairness. It's just a stupid delay. Then the next thing you know, you can orchestrate when you want to be suspended. No, that's completely wrong. No democracy here. you get to, the sentence comes down, you serve it right away and move on.
All right. I can see you're going to be testifying before a committee very soon.
I will. I will be. I'm looking for my suit and tie right now.
I can see that happening. Look, I'm a defense lawyer, so I have to respond a little bit. You know, you have one person meeting out the punishment, so maybe if you'd have to have three people. And you go back to the old commission. This is where they ended up getting Judge Landis in 1920 because the commission couldn't figure anything out.
Yeah.
But you have someone from the Players Association, someone from Major League Baseball, and someone, you know, from, I guess, the owners group or whatever, and let them figure it out, and then maybe at least you have a fair shot as opposed to one person just saying, well, that's the deal.
That's true. I mean, that would be a better way to do it. I'm just saying that once the suspension comes down, that's it, and you serve it right now.
All right. Well, we can see what happens there. What do you think of the first-round pick of the Giants' 17-year-old young Puerto Rican player? And it seems very exciting.
Yeah, you know, people say that the MLB draft is boring. It's my favorite draft. I really enjoy watching the MLB draft because they call up the highlights of these guys. And admittedly, it's just four or five plays. But I remember watching some highlights of Bumgarner when they drafted him, going, "Wow, look at this guy!" You know, or you watch a guy with incredible speed, or he's making a great catch, or he's got a great bat speed and stuff like that. And the clips of the Giants kid showed a guy who's really explosive. You know, you can tell right away that that he really gets after it. He's been a little inconsistent, but I think it's a good, exciting young outfielder. What's not to like? I mean, you never know if they're going to pan out, but it seemed like a good call.
Yeah, I think it's a great pick. I think you need players like that. This is a franchise that they haven't had players like that, so I think they have to get with the times and do that. I had an author on earlier, and I don't know if you got to hear him or not. John Florio did a book about life in the 60s and how it impacted life in baseball. And he brought up the Jose Feliciano national anthem. Remember in Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
And the furor that it caused after that. They cut him off and blah, blah, blah and everything. But here was a sort of a, and he thought he was doing a love song to, but it was in the age of protests. And that's how the powers to be looked at it. And it really ruined his career. You're a music guy. It ruined his career for a while.
Yeah, it definitely set him back, and it's funny. I mean, you look at the anthems now, and they're hammered out in every conceivable fashion, in several keys and off key, and with little stupid little phrasings thrown in there, and some of them take forever. But back then, the groundbreaker was kind of like Kaepernick, setting a weird, strange new tone for things, I don't know. I mean, it's. I think looking back, it's some sort of historic. But at the time, it didn't work out so well for him.
No, people took it the wrong way. Then, of course, in the 70s, you had Roseanne Barr.
Well, exactly.
Now she was, just I would assume being disrespectful in her own way. And wasn't it Ray Kroc was involved? Wasn't he in the middle of that and said something, get her out of here or something?
I felt like yelling that about halfway through some anthem. Awful! Get out of there!
What a world.
Usually during a bad anthem, I usually retreat to the bathroom so I don't have to take it anymore.
It's
I know
true.
It's unpatriotic, but I'm sorry.
No, look.
You've seen me walk past you during many anthems.
There's a long line in there during the anthem.
Yeah, there really is. You can't get in there.
You got to get in there. You got to have a reservation to get in there. There was another funny one this week with Daniel Murphy and Alan Porter, the umpire. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I couldn't quite tell what was being said, but it looked like it was kind of, it didn't, just to watch the body language, it didn't so bad, but some of the words being exchanged were a little nasty.
Yeah, I got to talk to Eddie Montague about this, because Murphy, wanted to move. There was a shift on, and he couldn't see the signals, whatever it was. And Porter just turned around and told him two words that were not very not very friendly. And you could read his lips.
Yeah.
And that was it. So, there's a game going on within the game.
Oh, there's so many things that go on that people don't realize. And you wonder how often that you get these little exchanges. You might see, them. It looks like they're communicating. You really have no idea. But now in this age, everything gets focused and sometimes blown out of proportion. And I think that was, they had their little exchange and they moved on. But you can't shift the umpires. You can shift the players, but the umpires are going to be where they want to be.
Yeah, yeah, basically. And Eddie will come on at some point and explain it to us. But all right, so we got the Rockies. Bruce, I don't know how the Rockies – and look, you know me. I've been talking about the Rockies every year, and you always tell me by June they're going to be gone, and you're generally right. But this one, I don't know how you're going to go through a summer as a Rockies pitcher with that bullpen. And they're going to kill Greg Holland, who's coming off surgery. I don't know how they may get in the playoffs. There's an 8-game lead for the second wild card. The three teams in the West are running away with three playoff spots. But boy, I'll tell you, Bruce, to watch that pitching staff over the rest of the summer, I don't know how they do it.
Well, it does seem a little unlikely. There's so many rookies in the mix. You got Freeland and Hoffman, and then again they're going to get John Gray back, and they're going to get who's the guy, Bettis, who had,
Bettis,
had testicular cancer and went through chemo. He might be back. Who knows? I mean, they've got a big asset in Bud Black, who's like having a pitching coach in the manager's seat. But at the same time, they're really inexperienced. They're on a little bit of a high right now, and the month of August tends to straighten things out a little bit to bring a little bit more reality to the situation. I don't know. Like you say, I've always written them off to fade in June, and I did that this spring, but I changed my mind fairly early when it looked like they had a little bit different thing going. I'm still feeling like that. I don't see them. The thing about it is that Arizona is going to be there, the Dodgers are going to be there, and I don't think those teams, as well as they're playing, I don't see them playing 6-18, 6-20 ball, whatever. So I think those three teams are going to be bunched together. So it might take a bit to to send Colorado into the doldrums.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's funny, you know, Giants 17 and a half back and June 17th and we're, you know, see you later. You know, but the rest of the baseball world, this is when the thing starts cooking. This is when the story starts for everybody is right now. You know, April and May, you figure out who you are. June, you fine-tune it. July, you make the trade. Then it's the race to the finish. This is when the story really goes, and we're not in the story.
Yeah, exactly. This is when the Cubs, you know, write themselves, and then nobody remembers how bad they were at the start. It's when, you know, Cleveland gets ready to pass Minnesota. It's when, you know, Washington gets a closer and gets themselves set up.
Right.
There's so, you know, the Yankee story is only building, you know, momentum, and there's so many teams that are just excited about what's coming up, and the Giants just simply can't look at it that way. I just can't. I mean, a lot of weird things have happened in this game, but being 17 and a half back, you know, and 17 in the loss column behind three teams, that's pretty much curtains.
Yeah, and the way they're playing, too.
Exactly. I mean, just to watch them,
yeah.
They look like a team. They don't hit, and then when they do hit, they're down 8-1 when they start hitting.
Boy, what a weekend. Well, yeah. Have a great afternoon, and Father's Day tomorrow. It's always fun to talk to you on Father's Day, so we'll talk to you in the morning.
Okay, sounds good, Marty.
All right, thanks. That's the great Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure to have him on.